Welcome back to another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast. Thanks a lot for sticking with us, guys, and signing up and calling in and tweeting at us with your answers. Here's how it works. Every Friday, my buddy Joe Patrick puts up a question of the week, and then you have until Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday, the following week, to call us at our studio number, 402-819-4894. That is a Ziggurat direct number. Or shoot us a Twitter or an email. Just make sure, if you're tweeting at us, you tweet with the handle THNAOW for Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week. If you're sending us an email, make sure in the subject it says Answer of the Week.
Nobody emails their Answer of the Week.
Yeah, regardless, if you're going to, you know, do it that way. Okay. So, Joe Patrick, what do we ask these jerks?
This week's question was all about gimmick covers.
Oh, boy.
Thinking about specific issues, not just types of covers, I wanted you to tell me. We wanted you to tell us.
Us wanted you to tell us.
We're a partnership. What are the best and worst gimmick covers? And as is our tradition,
it's 1994 all over again.
We will start with the tweeters.
Let's do it.
JP Roscoe. Welcome aboard, JP.
Nice.
He says, the best is the glow-in-the-dark Ghost Rider number 15. And the worst, polybagged comics with cards in them and multiple 90s generic foil covers. Polybagged with cards.
Okay, polybagged with cards, stupid.
I did hate that.
I don't know how he gets to call out the multiple holofoil covers and stuff when he's telling us he's in love with a glow-in-the-dark cover. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, buddy, but...
Listen.
Like, polybagged, I hate. I totally hate it. Because you have that moment where you sit and you stare at it and you go, can I open this? Like, you know, like, is this group worth anything if I open it? You know?
Here's the thing about polybags. If you think it's going to be worth something, then it should be a no-brainer to just buy another one.
I suppose.
Even if it's $4.
That's dumb. And we try not to do that as collectors. We try not to do that.
It's true. But if that's your jam, if collecting is your jam, and
coming from a guy that writes a comic book speculation blog.
If you think a comic's going to be worth money and you don't know if you can open the polybag, just buy another one.
That's fair.
What are you out? $4?
I do like the Ghost Rider call. Because, man, I used to just like charge that sucker up and turn off the lights in my room and just look at it and be like, that is dope. It was cool.
Thanks for your answer, JP. Moving on to Andrew Merzak, ever faithful. How dare you, monsters, make me choose between Silver Surfer and Wolverine number 50.
No, they're both bumpy.
Or try to recall either issue's story. For shame.
Yeah, they were like...
Silver Surfer 50 was embossed and foil.
Yeah.
It was the return of Thanos.
So he was shiny and you could feel all his muscles.
Yeah. Wolverine 50, I believe, was die cut. Like his claws were slashing through the cover.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Let's look.
It was either that or it was like a...
It was die cut.
It was like a foil. It was like a file folder, like a shield file.
Yeah, it had a top secret. It was like a file and there were three cuts in it and you could see the cover behind it. And then you opened it up and there was the cover.
Yeah.
It was dope.
Those covers are both cool.
I'm not going to describe
everything. I still think
they're
cool.
Dope. I'm trying to think who drew that.
Well, I know that Ron Lim drew the Silver Surfer 50.
Yeah. Wolverine 50. I'm not sure who that would have been. I'm looking at
me neither. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Moving right along.
Matt Blackshear, who I'm quite frankly can't remember if he's written in before or not.
Murderous Mark Silvestri drew it.
So welcome aboard, Matt. His vote for best is the die cut reign of the Superman issues that had a cutout for the crest, the Superman shield, and when you opened them, they revealed the Superman replacements.
Those were pretty cool.
I did love those covers.
Those were pretty cool.
He also cites Punisher Warzone number 1 from 1992, die cut, embossed, and wraparound.
Oh, yeah. It's all there.
The only gimmick it's missing is a hologram. Great answer, Matt.
We can all agree there's never been a good holographic cover, right?
No, hologram covers are always bad.
There's never been a good one.
No. Moving over to Facebook, our first response comes from the Triple B, Buzzy Brown Brennan.
Welcome back, Buzzy.
He says, the bad. Do polybags count? I hate those.
I hate them too.
As a collector, they are the only comics I can think of that, no matter how careful you are, you take away value just by reading it. But yeah, polybags suck. I'm looking at you, Age of Ultron number 10. The good. I really like it when the covers of several issues make a larger picture.
Yeah, those are fun.
I'm sure there's a term for that, but I can't think of it right now.
Interconnecting.
Puzzle covers? He submits puzzle covers.
Interconnecting variants.
Whatever. They're fun.
triptychs, diptychs.
Especially when it's done for second or third prints as a treat for those that missed out on the first prints.
Yeah.
I believe they're just called connecting covers.
Yeah. But interconnecting covers, very cool.
I'm going to champion the cause for puzzle covers.
All right. Before we move on, my favorite interconnecting cover, it was part of the Brightest Day thing, and it was when you saw all the white lanterns.
Oh, those were the variant covers.
Yeah, it was so cool.
And they were kind of like Art Nouveau kind of style.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all like sitting on a throne in their white lantern outfit. Man, those were awesome.
Were they dope?
I almost said dope.
Wade Lyle says, the best good/bad covers for me were the Deadpool Merc with a Mouth covers. All 13 of them were spoofs of old movies. Pretty cool, but totally cheesy. Yeah, they were like...
I don't remember, though.
They were parody covers of, like, Jaws.
Okay.
Yeah, they were just movie parodies, okay. And they were all Deadpool. They were fun.
I don't remember.
I, too, enjoy the puzzle covers. Harbinger had a cool set recently with... The Renegades, Bloodshot, and Toyo Harada on them. I think it was numbers 9 through 12 that made an awesome battle scene.
Yeah.
Valiant is amazing.
They did do a really nice
job.
Those
were cool covers.
They were very cool.
Brian Domingos writes in saying, the bad. It's the gimmick covers that don't add anything to the art of comics. Things like Spider-Man number 26, celebrating the 30th anniversary of Spidey. Lame colored background with a giant blurry 1990s hologram. I remember those, and I wanted them all so bad.
They were really stupid.
They were bad. Spider-Man 26. Ugh. And yeah, there was just a solid color.
Yeah, it was green webbing, and then there was a really bad hologram. And it's supposed to look 3D. Just terrible.
Yeah. The good. I love the puzzle covers. Like Jim Lee's 5 covers for X-Men number 1. Or the 8-piece Wills Portacio masterpiece he did for the Wildstorm books.
So is puzzle covers a thing and I just don't know about it?
Nobody calls them puzzle covers. I think it's just a thing because...
I've always just said interconnected covers.
They're called connecting covers. That's what they're solicited as. Okay. They're connecting covers.
Interconnected.
No comment on the Wildstorm love from Brian Domingos?
I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
No, I was looking at the Spider-Man thing.
The Wills Portacio masterpiece he did for the Wildstorm books. 8-piece Wills Portacio connecting cover.
You know what? I don't remember it. Yes, I do. It had all the characters. That was very cool. And it had like a blue and purple background, sort of. And like, oh, man. Yeah, each book had one. Those are really cool. I think I still have all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Look at that.
I totally have all of those.
You've got Union right there, front and center.
Yes. You thought we forgot about Union.
You've got Death Blow. You've got Backlash.
All right. Moving right along. Come on.
There's
I could relive this all night.
There's grunge. Scott Amundsen says, Chromium covers are awesome. Superman number 82 and Wildcats 25 all the way.
Yeah, that was a hell of a Chromium cover.
I don't hate Chromium covers.
I don't hate covers either. They're kind of cool.
I think they're fun.
They color them. They're pretty neat.
Superman 82 was the return of Superman fully from the dead. He like the real Superman, the pretenders stepped aside and Superman's back and they go to Engine City and fight the cyborg Superman. And it's a pretty great cover. Dan Jurgens.
What was the story with the Punisher and Nick Fury where the Punisher killed him and had a huge wraparound Chromium cover?
The name of that storyline was Over the Edge.
Over the Edge, that's right.
Back when Marvel had all of their lines divided into separate groups, like...
Oh, dude. Double Edge was the issue. Double Edge Omega.
Yeah, Double Edge Omega.
Yeah, that I loved that Chromium cover. It was so cool.
Yeah, it had a drooling Punisher on the front of it.
Jimmy Palmiotti drew it. It was awesome.
Yuck.
Yes.
James Cassingham Randall says, great question. This one got me thinking. For the bad, I'd have to go with Chrome covers. Sorry, Scott Amundsen. Specifically, Generation X number 1 from 1994. I had that issue as a kid, and I thought that shit was awesome.
It was awesome.
All textured and shiny and amazing. I grew up, life went on, and my comic collection disappeared. Later, in an attempt to relive my youth, I purchased a copy from eBay and was totally bummed out when it arrived. It's nowhere near as amazing as I remember. I don't know. Maybe the jaded and cynical adult in me sees through the marketing ploy of what is essentially a shiny version of a regular cover. And a way of luring the reader into picking up a crappy book. I'm looking at you, Age of Ultron number 1. I love Generation X number 1. I wanted that comic so bad. It's kind of hard to think of a good gimmick cover. As a rule, they generally suck. I have to say, though, in my opinion, the Joker's face covers to the recent Death of the Family storyline were done quite well.
They were done well.
Like Batgirl 13 and Batman and Robin number 15.
Yeah.
They're those subtle. Cool. They look cool and add to the overall story, in a sense, by reflecting the stranglehold the Joker had over the entire Bat family. A great example of how to make a classy gimmick cover. And if I remember correctly, the cover price didn't change. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
They may have been $3.99, but those are die-cut covers,
yeah.
Technically speaking.
Yeah, they were neat.
Excellent answer, James. Oh, and he comes back to say, how could I forget? Ren and Stimpy number one had a scratch-and-sniff cover. I don't know if that's good or bad. I have never seen a Ren and Stimpy number one.
They're really hard to come by, actually.
I don't know what it smells like.
If yeah, I don't either. But knowing that it's Ren and Stimpy, it's not going to smell like something fun.
Probably not.
Probably pretty gross.
Steve Paug.
Spell
Steve Paug.
Spell it.
P-A-U-G-H. Welcome aboard, Steve, and I apologize.
Paug.
My vote for both goes to... His vote for both good and bad goes to 1993's Bloodstrike number one from Image.
Totally fair.
Which included bloodstains that were, dramatic pause, wipe away.
Oh my God. Oh,
wipe away a bull. A fantastic idea with less than fantastic results. The blood did not survive even my most gentle wipes and soon devolved into a light pink thumbprint smear fest. However, it was a cool idea, and with new and exciting advancements over the years in fake blood technology, I do believe this idea should bleed back into the modern comic cover ether.
Hey-o!
Steve, wow. Excellent answer.
Wow.
I believe that that comic was advertised, it may have even said it on the cover, Rub the Blood.
Yes, the Rub the Blood cover.
Rub the Blood cover.
Yes.
Infamous.
Yes.
Gross.
Nah, it wasn't even that gross. It was just bad.
Justin O'Connor writes in saying, with even the covers of books that I enjoy assaulting my eyes when I peruse the racks, one name immediately springs to mind. I love the Acme Novelty Library covers that challenge the collector mentality of comic fans by asking them to cut them apart and assemble them into action figures and dioramas. His dust jacket for McSweeney's 13 that folded out into a newspaper-style comics page was great. Where's Art has raised the bar that the rest of the comics community has worked so hard to lower.
Right on.
Justin O'Connor.
Man.
Whatever. He likes...
Hard hitting.
He likes wrestling. He ain't so erudite.
I like wrestling, too.
Uh-huh.
Fun.
Thanks for writing, Justin. We love you.
By the way, wipe away-able, my new favorite adjective.
Wipe away-able.
It's wipe away-able. Don't worry about it.
Bob Osland. I sure loved me some glow-in-the-dark action with Ghost Rider number 15. I only got it about 15 years ago or so and really wanted to set it up on the dresser slash wall in the bedroom, but my wife would not have enjoyed it nearly as much as I did.
Good for you, Bob.
Good for you, Bob's
wife. I know what that's like.
Gene Law. Welcome aboard, Gene.
Yeah.
Who can remember at this point?
Female listener 12.
Gene is a man.
Oh, man.
He a boy.
I was hoping for the others. I mean, no offense. I'm glad to have you here, Gene. I wish you were a girl.
Gene says his best is X-Men number one from 1991. This was the relaunch that finally brought the original X-Men post-X-Factor back into the fold, returned Professor X to the mansion, and returned most of the team members that were blown apart by the 80s Siege Perilous madness. Seeing them all together on a giant Jim Lee gatefold cover brought fanboy glee to a 15-year-old me.
Totally.
Great answer.
I think I was like 13, but yeah, I'm right there.
You could buy them awesome. Individually.
Yeah.
Or you could buy... Cover,
a special edition that folded all the way out. Yeah.
That had all the covers on like a quadruple fold out.
Oh, so
that's
cool.
Called Gatefold.
There you go.
Thank you, Gene. Worst, his vote for worst is every holographic cover of the 90s.
Yep. They're and all bad.
We agree. Hologram covers are stupid.
Terrible idea.
That's it for Facebook.
Let's jump over to the audio portion of this show. And again, I would like this to all be audio. Call in. I'm asking you guys. Call in. Give us stuff to work with.
Don't bow down to his pressure. He just wants to do less work.
That's not true. It's actually more work.
He just wants to push a play. He just wants to push play
it's
and let you talk.
Way more work to edit out all your nonsense. Here we got a call here from Salem, Oregon.
Hey, Joe and Matt, and all of you beautiful listeners. This is Buddy here calling in for the question of the week, which I believe was gimmick covers. with specific issues in mind, what are the best and worst of all time? I guess I'll start with the bad. Seems like everybody's starting with the bad first. I was raised in the 90s, and that's when I mainly read comics when I was younger. So I don't even remember a normal cover. It was always foil or embossed or what, 3D or glow-in-the-dark. I don't remember a normal one. So that's how the 90s was. But honestly, the only ones I truly got frustrated with, and just being from a collector's standpoint, are the issues that had like 10 alternate covers. I don't need 10 issues with the same comic, but there is that voice in my head back then was like, get them all. You're no good to me if you don't have these. Sadly, my brain used to work that way, but now I just stick to trade paperbacks or hardcovers, or every once in a while I get a digital. But companies doing things like that, like the said 10 variants of one issue, it's like not even trying to hide the fact that they're just doing it for a cash grab. They just want your money. And I don't mind one alt cover, or maybe two, but there's no need for 10. Of course, no one made me buy these. I did this out of my own stupidity. I just bought them because I wanted them. So that'd probably be my number one, like, worst, is just too many alt covers. That's the thing I can't stand the most. The best, my favorite gimmicky comic cover, was from the first issue of a comic called The Mighty Magnor by Malibu Comics. I had a pop-out cover, and it was just really neat, especially when I was younger. I thought it was brilliant. I forgot about the comic, actually, until this question was brought up, so I had to go Google, like, pop-up cover and kind of give the description of the cover to get the name of the comic, because I didn't remember. But that always stood out in my mind as, like, just a cool cover. And I think if comic companies kind of implemented that still, and actually might work, I think you could actually turn it into, like, a really cool paper diorama if you're just having lying it around or something. Anyway, that's pretty much it. I hope all is well with everybody, and I can't wait to hear what others have to say about this. Later.
What a sweetheart. Who is that? Buddy?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. He said his name so fast,
I know.
It sounded like Nathan Bradford.
The lesson to be learned here is make sure that you clearly introduce yourself so we know who you are.
But we think we know who that is, but I'm not 100% sure.
But great call. I do think it's a little funny that 10 is too many, but Gen 13, totally rad.
Yeah, wait, you know what? I will say that as a young lad, I really liked the cover where they parody the Jenna Jameson role, not Jenna Jameson.
Whoa, pervert.
Janet Jackson.
Whoa.
The Janet Jackson Rolling Stone cover where some dude's holding onto her boobies.
Hey, all right.
You know the one.
You're pervert.
It was famous in the 90s.
Good news. Looks like New Mutant has returned to claim his throne. Let's see what he has to say this week.
Matt Bomb. Yo, Patrick. Now, what is this question this week? What is it? Let me look. All right, I'll tell you. This is what I want. I want the Fantastic Four to be a TV series. Don't even come to me with no nonsense about the cartoons, because they tried it every six different ways, and the only one that I liked the best was the one from 1960 something or other. And then the worst sidekick in the world was Herbie and all that stuff. Now, wait, what? Huh? I got the wrong week. What? All right, so what is it supposed to do with my glasses on? Up in here. Oh, gimmick covers? Ain't nobody got time for that. I ain't trying to answer no gimmick. I'm not buying no gimmick covers. Nobody got no money for no gimmick covers. I missed you too. I'm sorry that I missed a week. My bad. And, no, honestly, I don't buy gimmick covers. I buy it digital. And I don't remember the best one because I don't buy them. But I wanted to call in because I'm supposed to. Suddenly. So I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Look, I'm sorry. The people missed you.
Yeah.
We missed you. That's all. Yeah. You're not obligated to call in, but no. We're sad when you don't.
We love it when you do, and the list, you're good for ratings.
You raise the level of discourse.
This looks like Shonix calling us from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hey, nerds. It's Shonix calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Talking about gimmick covers. Worst, best. I had a hard time coming up with the worst because I love gimmick covers. I have a lot of fun with them. I don't buy them all, but I just love them. I think it's so neat. Variant covers, any of those die-cut covers, hologram covers. Anytime they do something crazy, I get a kick out of it. I like it. I love like all white covers, even though I hate having them. I love when anything, any comic book has an all white cover. It's just fantastic. Fantastic Four had some of the best ones. But my worst would have to go with the X-Men Jim Lee era, number one.
What a hater.
Not that it was bad. It was the fact that I was totally a sucker for it and bought into it. And I got multiples of all four covers, probably, I think, four each. And then I got multiples of the, it would probably be called director's cut now, of the total, like, fourfold cover with the, you know, pretty pages on the inside, and I got multiples of that one as well. But my best, my favorite gimmick cover, and I can't even tell you what happened in the book, which is really bad, but it is a Superman book. But Superman Man of Steel number 30 came, it was Superman versus Lobo, and it came with color forms.
Yes!
And it was fantastic. So you could have Superman and Lobo fighting right across the Daily Planet, like, sign, the big globe. It was awesome. I pull that thing out once in a while and play with it. Don't read it, though. I read it. I think I read it. I don't know. But love it, love it, love it. Great question, guys. Keep them coming. Sound like a broken record, but hey, I love it. I love being able to call in and talk to you, nerd. All right. Peace out. Later.
A little bit of hate for Jim Lee and the X-Men there.
I totally forgot about the color forms cover.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah, I never had it, but I remember seeing it.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah, it's exactly as he described. It's like, you know, the stickers that static to the front of acetate.
That's very cool.
And you can pose your characters on the front.
That's very cool.
And you can have Superman and the main man battle it out.
There you go.
Good question, Sean. Or good answer.
Check this out. Princess Ashley checking in.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Princess Ashley calling with my answer to your question of the week about gimmick covers. And my honest answer is I don't care about gimmick covers. I'm just calling because I hope you guys get over 10 calls this week. Good luck!
That's very sweet!
I love it when people call in just to say hi.
I love it,
but
too.
But they don't have answers.
And honestly, I think that's an answer. I don't give a crap about gimmick covers. Our very own TDW, THN Love Slave, Tony Dugwright.
Errant. THN Love Slave.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Writer of Tales of the TD Dubs. He says he's got one coming. He called in. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. This is the TD Dubs calling in for the question of the week. You guys posted a question about what are the best and what are the worst comic book covers that are really gimmicky, and I thought I'd share some that I have in my own personal collection. The first one I thought of was Forceworks number one. Which is from Marvel Comics.
It had a pop-up.
If you don't remember
cover.
The title, they're basically the remaining members of the West Coast Defenders or Avengers. I'll need Joe's help on that one.
Avengers.
Aaron Myers can probably chime in and help. But the first issue had a really weird pop-up cover. It was really terrible, really tacky, just really strange and goofy, and that's all I can remember from Forceworks number one, or even the series itself. I'm also a big fan of the Silver Surfer, and if you know anything about the Silver Surfer comics, the 50th issue and the 75th issue all had kind of really tacky, gimmicky covers. The 50th was silvery and really terrible, and the same happened with the 75th. There's this really bumpy version of the Silver Surfer on the cover. He's got some special silver crap that they put all over the cover. Great comic series, just bad cover ideas. Those are the ones that I could really think of, and great show, guys. Good talking to you. See you later. Bye.
Let's see what Camarillo Brillo gets into.
Hey, Two-Headed Nerd, this is Camarillo Brillo, a.k.a. the Rupert Pupkin of Listen Nerd Land, calling in to answer the answer of the week. As far as gimmick covers, I thought pretty hard about this one, and, you know, most of them are pretty similar, but one that was really unique, and it was actually pretty fun, even though it's easy to kind of laugh at it in retrospect in the context of the 90s, was there was an episode, or issue, excuse me, of Superman, and I can't remember which title it was. I think it was Superman Man of Steel. Yeah, it would have been one of the earlier
He's
issues.
He's going straight for the color forms.
Where Superman fought Lobo, and it had a hard, kind of a more of a plastic, more almost like a laminate cover.
It's acetate.
And had kind of a scene of I'm blanking on the name, Metropolis, and the Daily Planet and so on. And it had color forms.
Chloroform.
so they were stickers without adhesive that just through static electricity or whatnot happened to stick in place pretty well. But anyway, that was the most memorable gimmick, and I think it's one of the most clever. If I had a runner-up, it would be one of the trade paperbacks that came out for Kyle Baker's Plastic Man. It actually had kind of a rubberized cover that looked like Plastic Man.
I don't remember.
And there was kind of minimal printing on it, and it was just almost creepy to hold on to.
Oh, it was like his face.
But I really liked that, too, especially for a book that probably wasn't, you know, selling astronomical copies. It was neat that they kind of threw that little love letter to the fans there that Kyle Baker's Plastic Man is just one of my favorite things ever. But all right. Can't wait to hear what everybody else comes up with. Thanks. Bye.
So attention, DC Comics, color forms, where it's at.
They're a big hit with everyone.
I'll tell you what.
Kids of all ages.
You'd be able to ship more issues of Threshold if we had color forms. Wouldn't be canceled. Who knows?
Oh, man, you could have an acetate cover of the outside of the Bottle City and then just have your dudes like...
You're a dork. And our final call comes from our very own Dungeon Master and THN Love Slave and occasional guest host. The man just keeps adding to his resume. Ladies and gentlemen, Wooly Toots.
Hey, Nerdlinger buddies! It's Wooly Toots calling in with my answer of the week pertaining to gimmick covers. We talked about this at the Friday night D&D game, but I just wanted to reiterate for all of them listeners out there what I think is the best and what I think could be the worst. Let's start off with the worst. With the worst, I think it had to go for... And it's not something I own personally, but I've seen it in the back issue bins. DC Comics Eclipso, The Darkness Within, issue number one. They did a cover that had his little purple diamond-shaped gem, whatever it is. I don't know crap about Eclipso.
The
I don't know
heart
shit
of darkness.
About that guy. I don't know what his powers are. I don't know what the gem means. I don't know any of it. All I know is they glued a plastic 1-inch by maybe a fourth of an inch gem on the cover. A big plastic nasty thing. And why is that the worst? Because you put that in with other comics, and it smashes up. You got a bunch of comics packed in a box, packed in a drawer, whatever it is. That thing is going to make an indention on the comic book in front of it. Hopefully, you bag and board your comics, and that little piece of backing board will be a little bit of a protectant. But maybe not. That thing is out of control and dumb. My favorite cover gimmick has to go for The Mighty Magnor, issue number one, Malibu Comics. Sergio Aragorn, Aragorn is, what the hell did I say? Aragorn, what is this, Lord of the Rings? That dude, he did a pop-up cover that is awesome. You ripped the top of the cover, and then you were able to pull part of the cover back, and it was an awesome pop-up of the Mighty Magnor fighting giant robots in a city street, and it has three layers. I'm looking at it right now. It is so much fun. There's chaos and cars flying with comics spilling everywhere and a fire hydrant blowing up, and Magnor is bashing robots, and there's buildings and more robots and a spaceship. Holy moly. And you know what? I've got two copies of it. Who wants one? I'll talk to you later, buddies. I love you.
Oh, he loves us. Yeah, that Eclipso, I remember that. And I remember that when we worked together at the last comic shop we were at.
Yeah.
Destroying comics. Like, literally destroying the comic that's in front of it in the box. Because it had stuck out. It was a big piece of plastic that they just glued to it.
Right.
I mean, oh my God, what a terrible idea. Two votes for the Mighty Magnor, though. And Wooly Toots, very excited about it. Yo, Patrick, best and worst gimmick covers. Lay it on me.
You know, my instinct on the worst was going to be the Bloodstrike, the rub the blood. But really, I've got nothing against it. I never owned a copy.
It's just stupid.
It's just something, a historical artifact that I can look back and go, blah.
It's just dumb. It's not the worst. It's just dumb.
But my actual vote for worst is a comic called The Protectors. It was the fifth issue of the comic called The Protectors.
I remember this.
It was
Malibu?
Malibu Comics. Okay. They were like the team. So like the ferret.
Right.
And
was Sludge in there?
No, this was pre-Ultraverse.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the ferret and other really famous Malibu superhero characters, right, like the ferret, were in this group.
Not the badger, mind you.
Was it the badger?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was the ferret.
It was the ferret.
So they were like the Avengers of Malibu, right?
Right.
And
the ferret was the poor man's badger, by the way.
Okay.
And then the badger was the poor man's Wolverine.
And in the Protectors number 5 from 1993, one of the characters gets shot and killed.
Okay.
And that wasn't enough, you know, to make it newsworthy. But what they did instead was put a picture of the man that died on the cover. It's a full close-up chest shot. So you see, like, his chin and his chest, and he's got a gaping chest wound, and he's bleeding out of it. But what makes it noteworthy is that there's a bullet hole in the comic.
You know what? Okay, check this out. I swear to God, I'm going to turn the computer around because I was thinking, oh, you know what my worst is going to be? That comic with the bullet hole in it. That's what I was just searching for. Oh, my God.
And it's not just a bullet hole in the cover.
No.
The hole goes all the way through. All the way through the comic, and the artwork has to deal with it. It's so dumb. It's like, isn't it enough that this character gets killed?
Yeah, and didn't they kind of like work it into every page too? Somehow,
maybe
like in the art
something like that. Yeah. The book came out 20 years ago. It's probably been about 18 years since I've looked at it.
Oh, by the by, Nightmask was killed in an issue of The Protectors. And it was an issue featuring one of the more notable gimmicks of the day, a bullet hole through the whole comic and through Nightmask's chest.
Yeah, the bullet hole is coordinated with the artwork inside the book.
That was from that little snippet was from the comic book Urban Legends from CBR, which is a great blog to follow.
Comic book Urban Legends is a really fun,
love it,
fun blog.
Love it. So what's your best?
My best. I have a soft spot for some of those. Like, I did collect comics, but only because there was no other way to read them.
Okay.
Right? It wasn't like today where you can buy them digitally or, you know, whatever.
Steal them from internet.
Before I even had a job at a comic shop where I could just borrow them.
I always stole mine. I just shoplifted them. It was
sure.
Cool. F*** you, Osco Drug.
So, you know, I never really, like, bought gimmick covers to have them because I needed them. Like, I didn't fall for multiple covers. I appreciated them, and I thought they were cool, and I liked when the comics that I collected.
I was kind of the same way. Like, if there was an artist that was doing something that I really liked, I would just buy it because, like, it's cool.
Like, I will say that the reason I bought Generation X number one is partially because of the cover. But I think my favorite gimmick cover, not because it's especially, you know, flashy or anything, but I think it's very inventive.
The DC what the f*** covers?
No. I love the cover to Superman the Wedding Album, which is the one-shot special in which Superman and Lois Lane get married.
Okay.
In like 97, maybe.
All right.
And it features a canvas cover. The cover is like a wedding invitation.
Oh, right.
And so it's textured and
Marvel
embossed.
Did something really similar with the Cyclops and Jean thing.
The design, yes.
Yeah.
But the paper, no.
It was different, yeah.
And I just really think that's clever. Marvel did do something similar a few years prior with Amazing Spider-Man number 400, which featured the death of Aunt May. And it had a die-cut cover, and the front of it was a headstone, and it was kind of parchment-y.
Oh, like, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that Superman issue is just one that I really appreciate aesthetically.
Sure.
Because it's not garish. It's not, you know, a failed hologram. It's just a really classy-looking cover.
Well executed.
It's a white cover, which can be tricky, but because of the paper, it kind of holds up a little better. That's just one of my favorite ones. Matt Baum, what do you got?
All right, for worst, and I was trying to think of a single issue, but I can't come up with it. This started way back, notably with Lady Death, way back in the day from Chaos Comics, when they would make 15 different variants of the comic itself, but the only thing that was different in the variants was the color of the title. there'd be like red embossed variant, and the only thing that was red embossed was the cup, was the title Lady Death.
I just always
felt so guilty selling this stuff to these poor guys. Remember, there was a leather one even that had like leather on
there
the
cover.
There
is a leather variant, yeah.
But worst, I'm going to go today to the Avatar Ferals and Stitched variants. Because what they do, Ferals has a slashed variant where they just take the Ferals comic, the cover that you would normally get, and they put 3 scratch marks on it. Variant. And like, it's so dumb. It is the worst variants I've ever seen. And Stitched does something very similar, but I can't remember what they call it. It's the same exact cover with kind of like a sepia tone and one slightly different printing thing on it. And they're just so stupid. I can't believe anybody wants them. And nobody does want them because they seem to go on eBay for nothing. Dynamic Force is also guilty of this. Very guilty of this. Of waiting to see when a comic gets really popular, and then 3 weeks later, they're like, here comes the Dynamic Forces edition, and it's just the same damn comic with a different color letterhead. So stupid. I hate that crap. Best. And it's not die cut, not holographic. They were very simple. They were normal covers printed on really, really shitty paper. It was the Marvel 25th anniversary issues, where it was just everybody's head.
The borders.
Yep, it had the borders.
The frames.
With all the heroes.
Yes, those are awesome.
And then it was just like a head of one of the characters, like the Fantastic Four one.
That's classic.
Was the Thing dressed up, you know, with the sunglasses and the
trench coat up over his...
Yeah. Spidey was in his black costume and he's hanging upside down, kind of waving. You have the Black Knight and the Avengers. I loved them as a kid. I bought comics that I wasn't even buying at the time. In fact, I believe that was the first Iron Man comic that I ever bought, Iron Man 212.
Yeah, nice.
I was just like, man, these are so cool. I loved them. There was nothing to them. They were just fun. It was a great anniversary thing that they did. Even the Conan one was like, I think it was Barry Windsor-Smith drew the Conan one.
Barry Windsor-Smith definitely drew the Fantastic Four one.
Did he?
That Thing picture is Barry Windsor-Smith.
Oh, yeah, that is. That's totally him. They were just so cool, and it was a great way to celebrate their anniversary. And I don't think they've really like hit the nail on the head with one since, with like an anniversary series since.
Yeah,
I loved those. They were simple. They were cool. They're just totally great.
I do like. I have a soft spot for themed covers. There's nothing necessarily gimmicky about the paper stock. They're not shiny.
It's still a gimmick, but though. It's a theme.
Yeah, like it's just that every cover that month has the title of the book integrated into the artwork, or it's just a classy portrait of the character in close
fun.
Up
they're
and
fun.
There's no logo. I like that sort of thing. DC has done it a lot and I really like them. I do love that border.
It was just great.
I do have a soft spot in my heart also for embossed comics that they're not necessarily shiny, though some of them are, but where it's just they have texture. I just think it's kind of neat.
You like to rub their bulges?
I like to rub their bulges.
You're like, oh, Silver Surfer, your bulge is so texturized.
I'm reading there's a cool article here that I'm referencing about gimmick covers on a website called Topless Robot. That's not what you think.
Topless Robot's a great site.
Yeah, it is a great nerdy site.
Nerd culture site.
And they talk about like some gimmick covers that worked. And so it's a nice reminder that not all gimmick covers are bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are inventive and well thought out.
Absolutely.
Like there was a run of glow in the dark Batman covers in the 90s where Batman teams up with Deadman. And
I don't remember those.
Kelly Jones does the art. And when you look at the cover normally in normal light, it's just Batman and Deadman. But when you turn off the lights and you see the glow in the dark element, it's Deadman entering Batman, like taking him over.
Cool.
Which is really neat.
That is
very clever.
That's very cool.
So, you know, not all gimmick covers are bad. Sometimes they are.
No, it's easy to go, I hate them all. But, I mean, honestly, when they're well executed, they can be really fun.
And this isn't even like a gotta have them all situation. I just think that they're kind of cool looking.
Yeah. When they're, like I said, when they're well executed, yeah. I'm in.
That said, it's not going to get me to buy a comic.
No, it's not going to get me to buy something that I wouldn't normally read. Like, holy crap, I can taste this cover? I'm taking this home.
Oh, man, it's coming. I bet you can count the number of years on one hand
before
we'll see an edible comic cover.
We can lick the covers. Excellent answers this week. Fun question. A little different than what we have been doing. It's kind of fun to talk about the outside of a comic book for a change. Once again, give us a call, guys. We love to hear your voices. And like I said, we'd like to move this to a call-in show. Our number again, 402-819-4894. And we will see you this weekend for another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic-Cast. Mr. Joe Patrick will post another question of the week this Friday. So watch for that on our Facebook and our Twitter. If you don't already follow us, follow us. If you don't already like us, because we like you guys.
If you don't like us, then who needs you?
That's right. Not I. I'm just kidding. I need acceptance from everyone. We'll see you later, guys.
Good luck.